Today on Real Radio.
Fulfilled prophecy is a science. It's called eschatology, and it shuts up the mouths of the doubters and the unbelievers. Nobody can tamper with God's fulfilled prophecies.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called You Need to Know. This collection of lessons has begun with scriptural observations on the nature of the one true God. There are attributes about our Creator that are revealed in His Word. Now, that includes His Holy Spirit and His numerous functions. These are the areas our teacher will explore today in his mini-series called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We must know Bible doctrine if we are in fact Christians. You cannot claim to be a Christian, listen, and not be able to articulate what Christianity is. You're fooling yourself. If you say you are a Christian, but you cannot explain or tell how you're saved, then you cannot be a Christian. If you say that you're a Christian, but you do not understand or believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, in fact, I'll give you a list of things that are essential here in a moment regarding what it means to be a Christian who believes in God's requirements. But if you would locate, for example, the epicenter of the Christian faith geographically, you would come to the conclusion that it is, in fact, Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1, you're there right now in your Bibles, beginning at verse 4. The Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John,'" that is John the Baptist, "'truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem." That's where it all began. "And in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." But if you define right now the epicenter of the Christian faith regarding the spiritual side of it, it would be the bulwark that arises up out of Christian or Bible doctrine. So the geographical epicenter of the church is Jerusalem, but the spiritual epicenter of the church is Bible doctrine. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "And they," that is the believers, "continued steadfast in the apostles'" what? "Doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." This is essential, that you know what you believe as a Christian and you know well the person of the Holy Spirit. So here they are, church. Jot these things down. If you don't have any notes right in front of the seat in front of you, you can pull out that note sheet and write down these five essentials that are fundamental for being a Christian. And you test yourself right now. Are you a Christian in light of the requirements? Number one, to be a Christian, you must believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jot these verses down. I won't read them. I'll just give them to you for reference sake. John chapter 1, verse 1. John 20, verse 28. Hebrews 1, verses 8 and 9. John 1, 1, John 20, 28, and Hebrews 1, 8 and 9. Number two, do you believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's required to be a Christian. Virgin birth. Isaiah 7, 14, Matthew 1, 23, Luke 1, 27. That's Isaiah 7, 14, Matthew 1, 23, and Luke 1, 27. Number three on the list of essentials that you must believe if you're going to be a Christian and go to heaven, and that is the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, that his blood atones for all sin. Acts 20, 28. Romans 3, 25. Ephesians 1, 7. That's Acts 20, 28. Romans 3, 25. And Ephesians 1, 7. Number four, essential, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he physically rose from the dead. Luke 24, the Bible teaches us, verses 36 to 46. That's Luke 24, verses 36 to 46. And then 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. You must believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, the blood atonement, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And number 5, finally, the Bible says, teaches us, that we must believe in the inerrancy of God's word, the Bible. The inerrancy of God's word. In the original language is the inerrancy of the scripture, that God has given us the inerrant Bible, meaning it has no flaws. It is literally perfect in all aspects. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Romans 15, verse 4. 2 Timothy 3, 16. That's Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7. Romans 15, verse 4, and 2 Timothy 3, 16. These are essentials to the Christian faith, and you've got them down right now, and you need to look. And here's the amazing thing. It's so cool, because nobody around you is judging you when I ask you this question. I'm not judging you. The Bible says you are to judge yourself in light of the Scriptures, all right? And you look at these five essentials to determine if you're a Christian or not, and you ask yourself, do you believe in what the Bible says about these things? Only you know if you're a Christian or not. If you say, well, you know, I don't know about the virgin birth, then listen, you need to seriously go and search and see and find out so that you may very well, in fact, be a believer. So church, rather than review the 11 points that we've made thus far regarding the Holy Spirit, if you've missed the studies, get them online or get them in the distribution room over here and down the hallway. But here we go, and you're note-taking. Number 12, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, is number 12, God the Holy Spirit authored the Scriptures. Can you write that down? Number 12, God the Holy Spirit is, in fact, the author of the Bible. And as we've said many times before, the Bible is unlike all other books in all of human history. It is alive, for one thing, and it is active. I love saying that. Are you guys with me, everybody? The Bible is alive and it is active. There is no other book. Listen, you can quote the Book of Mormon, you can quote the Quran, you can quote a cookbook, you can quote the newspaper, no effect. No effect. You quote the Bible, and the Bible, according to the Bible, is alive. You can quote scripture, somebody will hear it, and they may go through all kinds of contortions or some sort of spasms when they hear it. They may flail around and reject it, but when they leave and they lay their head down on their pillow at night, the Holy Spirit is taking the Bible that they heard and is bringing constantly to their remembrance. That's why the old Puritans used to call the Holy Spirit the Hound of Heaven, because he uses the Word of God, the Bible. He's the author of the Bible, according to the Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us about the Holy Spirit and the authorship of the Bible. For the Word of God is living and powerful. You don't have to defend it, my friend. You just give it. It defends itself. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. The word means the Bible cuts between what you and I think and say and our motives. Wow, you and I don't even know our right motives. The Bible does. The Holy Spirit does, and of the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his, notice, his sight. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. He's the author of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1, 16 says, and this is Peter's account. I love this. He's old now when he writes this. He's not far from his death. Old, aged Peter. He says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Pause at that comma for a moment. These are the words of a man that is going to be carted off to his death. Skeptic in the house. Unbeliever listening. Here's a man who, if it was a fraud, that is Christianity, if it was something that men had made up, then explain to me the deaths of the apostles Many of them were brutally tortured to death. And don't you think that out of them, somebody would have caved in and said, look, we made it up. Here in Peter's own words, he said, we did not follow some cunningly devised fable, something made of men, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That'd change your life. For he received from God the Father, that is Jesus, honor and glory, when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. By the way, the Gospels tell us when Peter saw that, he was there, he was an eyewitness to that moment. In fact, he was the one talking, and the Lord interrupted Peter while he was talking. Remember that? On that Mount of Transfiguration? And we heard his voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic or proclaimed word of God confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this first, mark this, everybody. Watch, because have you ever heard somebody say, well, I believe the Bible says this. Well, to me, the Bible means this. Hang on to your seats. Knowing this first, that no prophecy or revelation of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You can't make it up. You've got to judge the Bible only in light of the Bible. Okay? For prophecy never came by the will of man. Men didn't make up the Bible. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved. The word is held by, enveloped, or carried by the Holy Spirit. He's the author of the Bible. He wants us to trust in his faithfulness, says the Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, that is great comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. What does that mean? That God gave us his word and it comforts us because it never changes. How God has empowered his eternal word for us is awesome. Isaiah 55:10 tells us, listen to this. This is a promise from God regarding his holy word, which promises you have in your hand, on your lap. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but waters the earth, and makes it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. This is God speaking. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. Have you ever told somebody in your life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, maybe you told them, that if you would believe in him, that you would not perish but have everlasting life. And did you ever feel like you failed? I'll answer for you. Yes, I do. I feel like I often fail. I feel like, man, Lord, I just wasted 20 minutes. That person didn't listen to a word I said. They made fun of it. They mocked. They said, well, I don't know. I'll think about it. And you feel like you just didn't get anything right? Hey, listen. Stick to the Bible. No matter what their response is, you will always be right because the word of God will never return void. It will always have an effect. Always. Be biblical. You'll always be right. What Jesus thought about the Bible, the Old Testament in his day. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said, listen, from Genesis to Malachi, Jesus said, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. When he said that, church, he's agreeing with everything written in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Some people today want to avoid the Old Testament because they don't like what it says. Jesus said, it is the word of God, and it is forever. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, that is a Hebrew little dot of the Hebrew pen, will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. That's a powerful statement. You can trust the Bible, authored by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to run through some things right now, eight of them. Are you ready? Are you guys, look, are you really quiet? Are you listening? Is it because you're so focused on what's being said? Right. In my dreams. You can trust the Bible. I'm going to give you 8 things very quickly. Number one, why? Fulfilled Bible prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy. Listen, prophecy fulfilled kills doubt and unbelief. Fulfilled prophecy. God says 743 years before Mary ever had or gave birth to a little lamb in Bethlehem, Isaiah said, "The virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." A virgin will give birth to the eternal Son of God, and in that moment, God will dwell among mankind. Did that happen? It's called Christmas. Fulfilled prophecy is a science. It's called eschatology, and it shuts up the mouths of the doubters and the unbelievers. Nobody can tamper with God's fulfilled prophecies. By the way, you and I love God for having given those to us, and we're thankful. And there are joy. And in the same token, those same fulfilled Bible prophecies will be the very condemnation of the non-believer, because there's no excuse for them to not believe in God. They cannot accuse God of being mysterious or hiding somewhere or not revealing. Oh no, he's revealed clearly. Number two, archaeological evidence from the Bible. No other writings in the history of mankind can match the Bible in its archaeological. That is, listen, the science of archaeology, that when the Bible says, "And thus a so place a culture or civilization lived," even though they're extinct from the earth today, if that archaeological group gets a shovel and goes and starts digging, guess what they find? Exactly what the Bible says. Did you know that, everybody? Did you know that? Did you know that still to this day, concerning the Smithsonian Institute, Indiana University, USC, San Diego State, University of Cairo? Did you know that Hebrew University in Tel Aviv? Did you know that in Japan, universities? Did you know what one single book? Oh, I hope this gets you upset if you're not a believer. I hope this so bugs you, it drives you crazy. Did you know that no matter, listen, pick any school and find an archaeological department, and guess what they have there in their archaeological rooms and their studies? The Bible. Why? Because when they start going through these pages and they read names like Hittites. Hittites? Well, what's a Hittite? And they start digging around where the Bible says the Hittites live, guess what they find? They find Hittites. They find Hittite ankle bones connected to the Hittite femur bones to the... Number three, the evidence for the first century crucifixions. That's a fact. Found in the Bible, found in writings outside of the Bible. Which leads us to this next argument, the Bible's internal consistencies. For example, when the Bible says something about this king or about this queen or about this culture or about this event, it winds up being something you can research. The Bible doesn't mention, listen, there are other books written by religious founders. Look, I love the Mormon people. They're very sweet people. They're fantastic people. But the Book of Mormon is archaeologically bankrupt. Did you know that? I love the people, but their book's messed up. You cannot find, and no university uses the Book of Mormon for archaeological evidence. Not so for the Bible. The next argument is extra-biblical writings. What do you mean by that? That means non-religious writings. By the way, if you can find it, it's very hard to find. I actually own a copy. If you can find it, get your hands on it. Atheists hate this book. First thing you do, you Google it, and you'll see all these people slamming it because they don't want you to read it. Arco volume, A-R-C-O, the Arco volume from Constantinople. Get it if you can find it. Why? It's extra-biblical writings on the events of the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I mean, in some cases, it slams Jesus because it's written from a Roman perspective. It covers the hearings and trials, for example, when Rome looked into the investigations after the supposed resurrection of Jesus. Did you know Rome investigated the events? Extra, that is outside biblical account? Did you know that Herod and others were brought to trial for investigation on what happened by Rome? You can read about it in other writings, but one of them is a compiled effort of the Arco volume. But listen to this. Extra-biblical writings. Did you know that there's a universal record, even in China, regarding a universal flood? What about the longevity, long lifespans of people? Did you know that's a scientific fact? We read the biblical account and people laugh at it. And yet there's evidence that absolutely speaks to such a thing. Did you know that extra-biblical accounts record that a slave group called the Israelites left Egypt? Did you know that is a fact outside of biblical accounts? What about the Assyrian nation and their repeated invasions of the nation of Israel? I love that, because that's an archaeological fact written down in extra-biblical writings. And yet many people today will say, no, there was no such thing as Israelites until 1948. Oh, that's funny, because there's data talking about Israel 3,000 years ago, calling Israel by the name, let me think for a moment, Israel. Did you know that in extra-biblical writings, and I've had a chance to see them, by the way, at the British Museum in London, England, Nebuchadnezzar's invasion of Judah, I've seen them in the British Museum. Maybe you have too. Listen, if you have one place to go before you die, make this your bucket list. Go to the British Museum in London, England. It's free. And walk through there. Take a few days. You better take your Bible with you, because it is Bible plump. Nebuchadnezzar's invasion of Judah. Did you know this? Also, Cyrus freeing the Jews from Babylon and sending them back to Israel. Did you know that's in extra biblical writings? Did you know that the life and murder of John the Baptist is written in Roman history? Did you know that there's the prolonged darkness on the day that Jesus died recorded in astronomical charts in other parts of the world? Did you know that? In 32 AD? And did you know that King Herod Agrippa's sudden death in Caesarea is written down in Roman history? The next thing is the Bible's amazing scientific accuracy. Did you know that the mariners of old discovered that the Bible speaks about currents in the sea that change with seasons? Did you know that it's from the Bible that it says that God carries water up out of the ocean and sends it back to the mountains or to the deserts and rains down, and that's a cycle that is perpetual? Did you know the Bible says that? Did you know that the Bible says that God is the one that puts migration into the minds of an animal to do? That's awesome. There's a little bird, the golden plover, I think it is. He's hatched in Alaska in the summer. He's hatched. Little cute little guy. Mom and dad raise him up, but mom and dad are smart. Just when they've had enough of him, they fly from Alaska. Mom and dad leave the nest. They fly from Alaska to Hawaii to spend the winter.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit. It's actually part of a mini-series that goes by this title, and it's taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. It's called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About God the Holy Spirit on the next edition of Real Radio. Now don't forget, you can write to Pastor Jack anytime and let him know if you're enjoying and benefiting from Real Radio. Here's what one Real Radio listener wrote recently. Pastor Jack, I just started listening to 89.7 Grace FM in Denver, and your program airs during the time that I drive to work. I love your messages. It's such a blessing to get a sermon every day instead of just on Sundays. Being a father of three, a husband, and a coach, I struggle to find the time to open my Bible. I thank God daily for you and your teachings. Thank you for everything you do, Brian. Well, thank you back, Brian. So visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Then just a couple points and clicks away, and you can send Pastor Jack a word of encouragement. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.